Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're pressing on in Psalms. We're up to the 24th Psalm. And so let me remind us again to constantly be aware of and be forewarned to make sure that we don't just go flying through a passage because we're familiar with it. We just experienced that with the 23rd Psalm, right? Very familiar with it. In this 24th Psalm, there's two or three phrases that we are quite familiar with that you hear all the time. Again, take a moment, reflect upon it, meditate upon it, ask the Lord what it means. And then there's subject matters that quite often we just sort of glaze over, okay? And so, I've been making a big deal about this as we're doing Psalms, and I'm going to continue doing so. We need to pay attention to what the Lord is revealing to us about his creation. And most of the time we go, oh, well, we know about that. Yeah. Well, yeah, we do, but then we don't. Okay, that's just a harsh reality. We really don't know. We know what we've been taught. And quite often, what we have been taught is at odds with two things. It's at odds with the Word of God, and it's at odds with the reality that I can see out my window right now. Yeah, I talk about my window a lot because I have a great window. I can see the world, okay? And so when you look out here and see the world, when I'm looking at it right now, is what I see in action, is reality, does this line up with what I have been taught? And if once you get past the cognitive dissonance, once you get past this thing that, you mean I've been lied to my whole life? Yes. Once you get past that, it becomes readily apparent and actually extremely exciting to discover the reality of God's creation. But these Psalms help us tremendously if we would just pay attention. I'll give you an example. The first verse here, Psalm 24. Again, this is called a Psalm of David. That's the title. So David wrote this psalm. Doesn't say it's for the choir master or anything like that. It just says David wrote the psalm. And it says this, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. And you go, okay, we know that. Yeah, God owns everything. And this is true. But just reflect upon this. It says that the earth is the Lord, okay? And that word for earth is eris. And it literally means the land or the earth. And it depends upon the context as to the meaning of the word, just like any language. Sometimes it's earth in opposition to the heavens. Sometimes it's speaking of inhabitants or a country or a land or a territory. Depends on the context, okay? But he declares that the earth is the Lord's. And what you find out is that particularly in these first couple of verses we're going to look at, that the other Psalms give tremendous insight into it, as well as other portions of the scripture. For instance, 1 Corinthians 10:26 says this, for the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. You go, wait a minute, isn't that what we just read? It is. And we're not going to get into it right now, but Paul quotes this psalm in writing back to the church at Corinth. Well, isn't that interesting? Well, it actually is. Like, why would he be quoting that psalm? Well, let me just back up, and I'll give you a little example. 1 Corinthians 10:23 says this, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own good but that of his neighbor. Eat anything that is sold in the meat market without asking questions for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. Okay, so we see what's going on. It's in the context of the argument they were having as believers. Are we able to eat? Okay, are we able to eat any kind of meat, or do we still have to adhere to the Mosaic Levitical law? And so Paul was telling them, no, you can eat whatever you want to eat. And he uses this psalm to support it. Now, we might say, so what's the big deal with that? You can glean a lot. You can get a lot of understanding and insight when you see how the scriptural writers handle the scripture. when you see how Paul quotes the what we call the Old Testament in his writings. It gives us insight into the original intent, but it often gives us insight into an intent that goes beyond what the original was. So you have an original intent, yeah, but then it was more to it. So the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. And that literally means the fullness thereof. Everything within the earth, everything upon the earth, all the earth is the Lord's. Then the rest of the sentence says this, the world and those who dwell in it. So it uses two different words here. The Hebrew word tabel means world. So world means world. And it's used in a bunch of places in various ways in the scripture. But there's a lot of other little cross references. Listen to this. This is Psalm 89:11. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all it contains, you have founded them. You have founded them. Okay? So he quotes very much like the 24th Psalm. 24 verse 2 says this, for he, speaking of God, has founded it upon the sea. So that's the same thing we just read in Psalm 89. He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. So the earth, God founded it upon the seas. And there's three other psalms that speak to this type of thing. Psalm 104:3 says this, he lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He walks upon the wings of the wind. You think, well, that's sort of interesting. Well, go a couple more verses past that. He established the earth upon its foundations so that it will not totter forever and ever. And we'll see this in some other psalms. We've talked about it already. But just look what it says, that God established the earth, that God established it upon its foundations. The earth has foundations. And it says that God has founded it upon the seas, established it upon the rivers. But then it's an intriguing little phrase, so that it will not totter forever and ever, teeter-totter, so that it won't stumble, so that it won't wiggle, so that it won't wobble. And if you know anything about man's cosmology today, that's part of what man says the earth does, is that it moves back and forth and it wiggles and it wobbles and it totters. Scripture says it doesn't. Scripture says it has a foundation. And then Psalm 136 says this, verse 6, to him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his loving kindness is everlasting. So the Lord has founded the earth and the world upon the seas, established it upon the rivers. He spread it out over the waters. And you think, well, how can that be? That's not what I was taught. Well, no joke. But when you read the scripture, you find out that there's waters above and there's waters below. You have waters, you have seas, you have rivers, you have the earth, you have the bowels of the deep. Oh, there's all sorts of things the scripture tells us. Now, quickly, academic circles, they're going to say, oh, this is just poetic language, so it's not to be read literally. Generally speaking, that is not true. Yes, it is beautiful language. Yes, it is poetry. But don't blow it off and say it's not literal just because it's poetic, all right? Well, gosh, my time's up. We'll continue on this next episode. I'll see y'all then.